Praise God, it's good to be in his house today.
I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Opportunity we have to gather together to lift your name and worship and praise, Lord. I praise you, my God, and I thank you for this.
I just want to thank God for being here tonight and for the spirit that I feel here tonight, and just for just looking out and seeing some new faces and looking forward to getting to know people and meet people that are here tonight, and just thank him that we have this place, all of us, to gather and get together and just worship God together. This song that we're going to sing has a line in it that says, okay, let me make sure I'm reading it correctly. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good, so, so good. And those words just, they really resonate with me, because it's just that reflecting on the fact that no matter what we're going through or the ups and downs in our lives, just that God is always faithful to us through all of those things, and I'm so thankful for that, and just ask you to worship with us while we sing tonight.
I love you, Lord. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. voice is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you.
Sing song number 336. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him wherever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted in me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning, praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes down. Praise Him, praise Him, all of our worship and adoration, my God. I love you, Lord, and I thank you, my Lord. Thank you for all that you do in my life, Jesus. I love you, my God. I praise you. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise God. I wanted to sing a special tonight. This is a song that I actually just sang a couple of weeks ago. And I wanted to sing it again, though, because I was able to log in after the fact, but watch a little bit of Maria's funeral. And this is one of the songs that they sang at the funeral, and it just... song is Graves in the Garden. I know there are times in our lives that are unbelievable. There's no way we can imagine how we can possibly work it to how God can work it out. And but he's there. He's able to turn graves into gardens. And just want to sing this song tonight, and hopefully I make it through it. If you know the words, sing along loudly in case I don't make it. But praise God. Search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for deadness. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing.
in you, Lord, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Thank you, my God. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory, my God. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you for that power we have, confidence we can have in your plan, my God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise you, Lord. So thankful for that power and confidence we can have in his plan. I'm going to sing our last song tonight before Paul comes up and brings us the word of God. It's song number 65, He's My Everything. If you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now.
He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything. Both great and small, he gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. So how about you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. How about you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life. My everything. So how about you?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, my God. I thank you for being everything, Lord. Everything that we need, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of the Lord?
Lord, you may be seated. It's great to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. I don't like missing church, but when you're real sick like that, you can't help it. So, as soon as I'm not contagious and I can come, I come. And I love to be with God's people and be in this place right here. I thank all the people that were at the work party yesterday, the ladies that prepared a wonderful lunch. Brought back a lot of memories. This church, the church across the street, everything we've done in unity with God's Spirit, and He's blessed the work of our hands. Amen. It's been years and years. I've been here for, 44 years now. And everything I have and everything that's happened to me is from God. And I want to thank Him tonight for the blessings He's put in my life, the people He's put in my life, and the life He's given me. It's a beautiful life living for God. Amen. Well, welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. Beautiful Soldotna, Alaska. And I want to welcome our visitors. The folks have been traveling. Glad to have them back. And keep each other in your prayers. There's a lot of people that want to be here that can't be here because they're sick. And our online folks, it's different online than it is at being here in church. I'm glad we have it, but I wish they could be here and experience what you feel when you're together in one place. But if they can't be here, I'm glad that we have that outreach for them. And I want to welcome them, and thanks for your loyalty, because I look at the screen and there's a certain amount of people that are here just every week, and that takes effort. It takes time out of your day, but it's time well spent. Amen. John already mentioned we're having the fundraiser after service tonight, the pizza and stuff for an excellent cause. So stick around and fellowship with us a little bit and have something to eat. We appreciate that. I gotta look at some of my notes here. We need to really, really focus on spreading this word of God and bringing new folks into the church. All these things that are going on in the world, as heartbreaking as they are, they do get people's attention, and they get their attention. They know there's something going on in this world, even if they don't understand it. They know there's something happening out there. And it's an opportunity to share what we have with God. And it's our commission to bring people into this salvation plan that we didn't know anything about ourselves most of our lives. And as these days get darker, it's going to be tougher and tougher to stand for God, because the things that are in the Bible right now and have been since the beginning, they're trying to change a lot of that stuff. They're putting a different slant on things. Look at the disasters that are going on in the world right now. This is all scripture. The earthquakes, the heat wave, the high winds, the pestilences. We had this COVID thing. Well, that's just the beginning of things. We're not going to get rid of this stuff. It's going to keep escalating and escalating and escalating until He comes back to take His people home. And we know that according to the scriptures. So the best thing we can do is get as close to God as we can and stay there. Amen. 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 This is serious stuff. This teaching here is, when I prayed for this, I had a major blessing, not only for the people here in this building, but for this whole world. Because the Bible teaches in the last days, and I'm not saying it's going to happen in 6 months or a year. I'm just saying this generation here is all these things that are happening right now. It talks about when all these things happen that He was going to come back and bring His people home. But it's happened over such a long period of time. It's escalating right now. But it hardens your heart to this stuff. You get used to it. It's, well, yeah, that's how it is. But I'm 77 years old, and I've never seen anything like what's going on in the world today. And when I first started living for God, there's not too much in this world I hadn't experienced. I've never seen or heard some of the things that go on right now. Everything from twisting God's word around to what they're trying to do with the younger children. It's not only all these catastrophes, it's the morality in this world right now. It's heartbreaking, man. I've watched some of these commentaries on some of these people that things happened to when they were just young kids, and now that they're, you know, even 15, 16, 17 years old, they're heartbroken because their whole life has been devastated because somebody told them one thing or the other. If we see something or hear something that's contrary to God's word, especially when his word says it's an abomination, and we're comfortable with that, or we have compassion towards that, not good. When God says something's an abomination, it's an abomination. I mean, we do all we can do to bring people out of that stuff, and we're not mean to anybody or anything else, but they can't stay in that stuff and be right with God. And when we act like, well, it's not too bad, or yeah, I can relate, or anything like that, you give them the hope that's in God's word, that with the Holy Ghost, like it is in the first two chapters of the book of Acts, you can change. I don't care what you've done in your past life, you can change. Amen? I mean, we're a living testimony right here. I was thinking about that one song that John sang about him reaching down and picking me up. I was too low to even get up. If God hadn't reached down to pick me up, I wouldn't be here. And I know that. That's the kind of God he is. If there's anything at all inside of a person, God will reach to that. Anything. Amen? Amen. You look at your own lives. This here has got, not, this is not pointing a finger at anybody, this teaching. This is all self-examination, this whole teaching. And as I was studying it, I looked at it like that. That everything in here that I saw was towards me. Are you guilty of this? Do you need to work on that? We need to be an example out there in it. We do not want to be an embarrassment to God. Once we say we're Christians, we need to be living this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Because you got a bullseye on you as soon as you say you're Christian. And there's nothing worse when somebody's out there and you're working with them or something and you're a hypocrite. There's nothing worse that you're saying all these things about God, oh, praise the Lord and everything, and you're just like they are. You get the same kind of language. You talk about the same kind of stuff. We never want to embarrass our God. Amen? This teaching is about staying close to God, about staying full of the Holy Ghost, because we're going to need, not only are we going to need all the power we can get to live a holy life in an unholy world, we need the unity. We need each other. Everything you see here was built on unity. Amen? I mean, we had work parties not only every weekend, but we worked on this church. After we worked 12 hours a day, we worked on this thing from 7 to 12 at night, 7-6 days a week. The only days we didn't work on it was Wednesday and Sunday when we had church. But we were in one mind and accord, and there's nothing God can't do when you're in one mind and accord. And I don't mean just little groups of people being in one accord. I mean all of us being in one mind and accord, because that's what it's going to take. Amen? Yeah, I had one of my little notes here was, yeah, this message is a warning. It's put your spiritual ears on, because these things are happening in the world, and there's a little here and a little there. And when you look at the big picture, man, it's scary out there. It's not only in the world, it's just, especially America. We don't live by the standards that the rest of these countries live by. This country was never like that. But look at the way we're going. And you can blame the political parties or whatever. It's mankind. It's not the political parties, it's mankind. It's what's in their heart. That's why God wrote it in His Word. For us to be aware of it. The people that love and want to serve God, this is not only love letters, but this is a roadmap and warning signs. So as we go through these scriptures, really think about what they say, because their life, a beautiful life here, but they also tell you if you don't live for God here, the effects of that too. So let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, start out in verse 4. And while we're reading these scriptures, just ask yourself, if all these things start coming down, well, we're going to read some of the persecutions and stuff here, but are you strong enough? Do you have enough Holy Ghost in you that you're going to be able to endure this stuff? Are you strong enough? Because if you're not strong enough, you're not going to stand. It's going to take, well, that scripture that we'll read here in a minute, where it says, if God didn't shorten the days, even the elect couldn't stand. That's us. We're the elect. Amen? I mean, we are the elect. Not just here, but God's people all over this world. They're the elect. And if He's got that warning sign out there for us to stay close to me and full of my spirit, because you're not going to be able to stand if you don't. So, verse 4, 24th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There should be famines, which we know that's going to, this food thing is getting to be a really big deal right now. They know that there's going to be a real shortage of food worldwide here shortly. And it's right here in God's Word. It was written over 2,000 years ago. Pestilences, we know all about them. We don't know about how bad it's going to get, though. We have no idea what we're going to have to go through in this life before we get out of here. He does say you're going to have sufferings or you won't reign with me. You got earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, and then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, we haven't had to go through any of this part right here where they've killed us, but there's people all over this world in these third world countries that have already. And that's something to be aware of. This stuff is happening just because it's not happening in our backyard. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It tells you right here how strong that spirit of Satan is going to be in this world. Because it's so strong and you don't have enough of God's spirit in you to fight it off, you're going to fail. I mean, haven't you ever wondered why certain people fall away? It's because they get their priorities mixed up. They don't stay strong. They don't pray and study every day. They don't fast when they're supposed to. That's what gives you the strength to withstand these things. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And this is one of the reasons God's hanging on right now. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, we know because of the technology that's out there right now, it's getting to the point where everybody can pretty much hear this gospel. But the funny thing about that is when I travel, especially around my hometown where I'm from, there's a lot of people that have never heard this. And if you don't look, if you're not hungry for something from God, you don't even have to know you're hungry for it. I just wanted to know what the truth was myself, but everybody's got their story. I wanted to change, and I wanted to know what the truth was. But God knew that I loved him more than I knew I loved him. I didn't know how real God was. There's a lot of things I didn't realize. I just knew I wanted the truth, if it was out there, and I wanted to change. And God brought me 4,000 miles up here to hear the truth. And I've never been taught anything across this pulpit that wasn't right here in black and white. And I'll never teach anything across here that's not in black and white myself. I'm just so thankful to God that he brought me here to a place that does teach the truth, that does teach the love and the unity and all the things the Bible teaches that God's people are supposed to have between each other. Not the suspicious stuff, the guards and defenses and the separation. There should be no separation with God's people. Things come up, things go down, but we all got baggage and we need to just forgive and forget and do what God wants us to do with each other so we can get this work done. Amen? Let's just jump down there. I just want to read a couple scriptures. Let's go down to verse 21 and 22. Same chapter. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever will be, or ever shall be. And here's that part I was talking about earlier. And except the days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those shall be shortened. Now that's the love of God right there. He's leading us, guiding us, and we're in a perfection mode. That's what these trials and tribulations are all about. This is a twofold thing. As we go through these scriptures, you'll see what this is really all about. It's not just because you're having a trial. There's a reason for us to have trials. People that are not serving God, they have the same trials we have, except for theirs are just part of the natural. Ours is part of the natural, but the biggest part of it is to perfect us spiritually, to refine us, to build our faith, to get us closer to God, to realize that we are helpless without God. Amen? God is the only hope anybody's got. I don't care what they say. God is the only hope. And if you're not close to him, you're not going to make it. That's the word of God. Let's go to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the 14th chapter. Just a couple verses there, verse 21 and 22. Acts, the 14th chapter, verse 21. This is Paul and Barnabas when they were evangelizing the different cities and things. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again unto Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting to them to continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, they told them all the things that had happened to them. They know that there's going to be a lot of persecution. Anytime you profess to live for God, you're going to get persecuted. It's just the way it's going to be. So are we strong enough to take a little persecution? I'm talking to each and every one of us, myself included. We got to be strong enough to go through this stuff. Let's go on to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. we're going to have to stand alongside of these apostles like Paul and Barnabas and all the rest of them. And we're not going to get a free ride. We have to go through these things. But it's all part of God's plan for us. Second Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 10. Let's start out in the verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose of my faith, long-suffering, my love, and my patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. See, this builds your faith. The more things you go through, the hard times is where you grow and build your faith. And that's what Paul's talking here. All the things that happened to me, God was right there. And he had a tough go, man. They beat him. They did so many things to him. There's probably a lot of things that's not in the scriptures that they did to him, too. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Well, this is for us. This is for anybody that's serving God. And then it goes back to modern day again. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse and deceiving and being deceived. And he's talking to Timothy here. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He learned them from his grandma and his mom, and they were a good example. They lived what they were telling him. They didn't tell him this and that, never went to church, or got upset every time everything didn't go their way or whatever. They were a good example to this Timothy. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And here's what people need to remember. That God that created this universe just spoke it into existence. When they say that this word, it's been interpreted, it's been this and that. That God is able to keep his word the way he wants it. There's no human flesh or anything else that can stop what God's got for his people when it comes to him guiding them and leading them home. Verse 16, all scripture is given by his inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives us the tools, not only for us to live a holy life, but to lead others to him so they can live a holy life. So when it's all over with, whether they're 20 years old or 110 years old, they're ready to go. That's the most important thing that any human being in this world should have in their mind. If something happens to me today, where am I going? Don't guess at your salvation. Please don't guess at it. If you never do anything right, make sure you're right with God. Amen? Amen? This is important. I mean, this is serious stuff. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, and we'll start out in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice in so much that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now he tells you, if you're going to reign with me, you're going to have to suffer with me. But our suffering, like I said, is for a reason. It's for to perfect us. It's to build our faith, to get us closer to him, to rely on him more, to understand that we are nothing in ourselves, nothing. That without God, we're helpless. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. When you're working with somebody or even living with somebody, just in communication with anybody, and some real negative things are happening in your life, and you profess to be a Christian, you don't handle them the way people without the Holy Ghost do. You've got a whole different outlook on life. You realize that God's got control of your life, everything from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed and everything in between. Whether you're sick or on the mountaintop or in the valley, that God's right there with you. And you don't react to things like that. And that's very impressive to somebody that doesn't have God in their life. Amen? I mean, I've been on both sides of this fence. And I'll tell you what, living for God is the only way to go. The only life there is. We were created to live for God. Mankind was created to live for God. According to his word, not according to how they think God ought to be or the way they think things should be or any other way. We have to live our life according to his word. Not what we like and don't like, or we feel like that's good or this is good or whatever. But God's got nothing but good in store for his people. Everything that's in here is for our good. Warnings, the love letters, teaching you how to live a holy life. It's all right here. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evil doer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. But yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Now, have you ever been on a job or been in a situation, an office party or whatever, where because you were a Christian and you didn't join in on some of the things that they said or did, you were kind of an outcast? Have you ever been there? I think everybody has at one time or another, if they're really trying to live a holy life. You're convicting to be around people that are using God's name in vain, telling inappropriate stories and so on and so forth. Or even backbiting people. If you don't join in that stuff, they know there's something different and they kind of shun you. I've been there. But it says right here, glorify God because you're suffering in his name. Verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, that means the ones that are as close as they can get to God, they just barely make it in. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. God is faithful to his people. Amen? He never lets you down. Now we let him down every once in a while, but he doesn't ever let us down. That's another thing about trials and stuff. Yeah, I'll save that for a little bit. We'll get into that a little bit later here. Let's just go to the next chapter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. We'll start out in verse 5. What I like about this word of God is it covers every part of our life, but it covers every part that we're living in, whether we're a teenager, a little 10-year-old, 30-year-old, or 100-year-old. It covers every aspect of our life. And it tells you how you're supposed to react and interact, and tells you how to get the power to be able to interact and act in a holy way. Likewise, you younger, verse 5, 1 Peter, 5th chapter, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, All you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Ask yourself tonight, are you humble? I mean, that's a personal thing. Nobody knows what's going on in your mind. But are you really humble? I mean, can somebody come up to you with constructive criticism or just knowing that they come up to you trying to help you, or just trying to give you a little, without being too bossy and all that, can they come up and do that without you getting a little bowed up at them, or even if you don't say anything, you don't have to say anything, just get an attitude in your mind about it. That's not humble. You got to realize that somebody comes up to you and tells you something, it's because they care about you. If people don't care about you, they don't say nothing to you. I've been there. And I was in tears, wanted somebody to stop me when I was a kid a few times. I wanted them to stop me and they wouldn't do it. And I just kept going and going till I crashed. I know what that's like. I know what it feels like to be loved by somebody too. Real love, God's kind of love. Love is pretty hard to find in this world right now. Love and kindness, where people really actually care about each other. We had a little teaching here maybe a couple of weeks ago. It was about real love, not just, oh, how you doing, man? I love you. I mean real love, where you'll go out of your way to help a brother or sister. You'll put your stuff on hold and go help them. They don't owe you one when you get done. That you actually care about them. You really care about them, and they can feel that. When you really care about somebody, they feel that. I mean, I love people sometimes, and I don't get that back. And I can't do nothing about that. I cannot do that. That has to be something between them and God. But it doesn't change how I feel about them. It's just that the Bible teaches love begets love. And when you feel that love back, you feel a closeness with that person. When you don't feel that love back, you feel a defense or a lack of trust. It's a bad feeling. It's a bad feeling to a child of God when you love somebody and they don't think you do. They don't think you do because they won't let you. They're too defensive to let you. They don't want to get hurt. They think you're going to hurt them. Amen? That happens. I mean, I bet you that's happened to everybody in this room. Amen? Even people don't want to admit that, but it's true. That's human nature. You get hurt, you put your defenses up. You get hurt again, they get a little higher. You get hurt again, they get a little thicker. Pretty soon, nobody can penetrate that. When I came to God, it took me 3.5 months to receive the Holy Ghost because I had all them defenses up. I didn't trust anybody. I couldn't really love it like I was supposed to love, and I did not trust people, period. But God worked with me and broke them walls down and had to humble me in a lot of different ways to get me to where he could give me his spirit. Now, on the other hand, my wife came in here the first night and got it the first night. You know, I could make a joke out of that, but I'm not going to. It's too serious. But I know what I am. I know what I am and what I was, and I know what I am in God. And I know what I'm going to be if I don't keep living for God. I'll be right back the way I was before, even worse. And I don't want to go there. Living for God is a beautiful life, and I don't want to let him down in any way, shape, or form. He's never let me down. And I love living for God. It's the only real life there is. God created us to live for him, according to his word, not because I'm up here talking about it. It's what I'm saying is right here in black and white. All I'm doing is relaying that. And it's up to us to do something about it. Verse 7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for us like we, wow. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, now listen to this here real carefully. Your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There's only one strength in this world, one power in this world that's stronger then that's God. We don't have any power over that. We're just puppets. We don't realize that, but we are. He can make us do anything he wants to. Most of the time, you don't bother. If you're not living for him, you're already lost anyway. So why should he bother with it? But you see all these horrific things that happens to people, families, mothers, daughters, sons, and the killings, the stuff going on. There's no way that that's not demon-possessed. Some of that stuff, there is no way a human being, it's just a normal human being, can act like that, do them things. There's no way. But that's going to get worse and worse. It is getting worse. And we're watching it every day. And we've got to be careful that we don't get, that doesn't get to be the norm. Yeah, well, that's how it is. I'm glad I'm the age I am right now. I just feel sorry for my grandkids. I really do. That's why I want God to come back as soon as he can. But I don't want anybody to be left behind. So every opportunity I get, I'm going to try to give people the same chance that God gave me. And then if they don't take it, they won't be able to stand there at that white throne judgment and say, hey, you didn't tell me about it, and here I go. None of us want to be guilty of that. Amen. Verse 9, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That tells you right there, people in the world have the same problems that we have. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen you and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Without humility, that process there can't take place. You won't allow God to perfect you if you're not humble. God can't. And he does have a breaking point. See, a lot of people don't recognize it. They think they're humble. They're not. They're not because of the things they say and do sometimes. See, the Bible teaches that you can't, sooner or later, problems you have inside you will come out. You cannot hide them. It talks about the tongue being the most unruly member of the body. Sooner or later, you will make a statement or get offended about something, and it will come out. But with the Holy Ghost, if you slip and fall like that, you can pick yourself right back up and make it right with whoever it is and go on. And be ready when he comes back. You all want to be ready, don't you? I do. Let's go to Philippians, the sixth chapter, or Philippians, the first chapter. You know, all this word of God is for is to, he doesn't want anybody to fail. He wants us all to make it. He wants the people that love him for what he is to spend eternity with him. And not only that, to have the most beautiful life that they could possibly ever have in this life here. Amen? I mean, just think about our lives right here. And just think about the people that you know, that you might know pretty good, that are not serving God. When things fall apart, they don't have any place to go emotionally. And usually they call one of us for prayer or whatever. But as soon as things get going good, a lot of them just go right back to their old lifestyle. Living for God is 24/7 the rest of your life. And then on into eternity. Amen? People think they're going to have to give up something to really serve God. The only things you give up are the things that make you uncomfortable, feel guilty, wished you wouldn't have said, wished you wouldn't have done. You give that up for peace, joy, and righteousness, and the promise of eternal life with God. I mean, that's not even a trade-off. You don't want to think about it that way. What do you got to lose? Check it out. That's what I tell people. That's what somebody told me. What do you got to lose? You can always walk out the door. What can happen to you in church? You don't think nothing about the places you go to that you could actually get hurt in. What can happen to you in church? Yeah, you're right. What can happen to me? I guess I could walk out if I don't like it. But praise God, I didn't walk out. I just, that scares me to even think about not answering that call. Because when God's calling, you get that little tingle. You get that little tingle. You might be 10 years old, you might be, like I say, 80. But when God really, really puts a call on your life, you know it's God. If you're here tonight, God's working with you. There's no way you're here if God doesn't work with you. There's a scripture that says, nothing's done in trial and circumstance. God's got a time clock for each and every one of us to live, to die, and all the in between. And the choices we make in this life are the ones we got to spend eternity with. Amen. Philippians, the first chapter, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what Paul's talking about here. You hear about a people. When a people are living for God, they're living a holy life and actually living what the Bible teaches, it spreads pretty quick. There's negative stuff out there too, but the positive side is that they know that there's something different. These people are actually living for God. And that's when the persecution comes in sometimes, because it's convicting, because I'm not doing it, but you can. And you're working alongside somebody. And every other word out of their mouth is a cuss word, and you just smashed your finger and never said a word, except for ouch. You know, what's going on with this guy? He's a construction worker, or, you know, why isn't he screaming? All these little things, that's not a little thing, but I mean, all things like that are impressive to people that you're working with around in this life. Verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. And that means you don't have to worry about nothing. They can persecute you and say what they want to say and everything. As long as God's happy with you, it doesn't make any difference. And if they don't change their ways, they're looking at some pretty serious things that happen to them if they don't change their ways. You know what? It's just yes or no. It's living for God is so easy, man. Once you've found out about this stuff and received His Spirit, living for God is a lot easier than living in the world. Man, I'll tell you what. That's like walking up against that wall there and banging your head against there 24/7. You're not going to move that wall. But God can move mountains for you. Mountains, man. He's done so many things in my life, it's not even funny, that I didn't even think was possible. But the only thing that I really ever cared about was that I wanted change. I wanted some peace and joy in my life, and He gave it to me. And I'm not doing nothing to get rid of that. That's the first thing that goes to is your peace and joy if you're not doing what you're supposed to do in God. And when that happens to me, I get on my knees. I'm going to find out why I'm losing that. And I'm going to change. If I have to call somebody up and go see somebody, make it right, whatever I got to do to get things right between me and God, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to live like that anymore. I was talking to somebody the other day about housing or something. It was about, you know, $1 million house or $500,000 house and on and on and on, you know. And I said, I can't live. I don't care what I'm living at. It's in a pup tent. I gotta have peace and joy in my life. I gotta live in that environment. And I'll take whatever I have to take to live there. It doesn't make any difference where I'm living at. And a wood frame or whatever. And you can go into some of the nicest houses in the world, and if there's not any peace in that thing and joy, you can feel it as soon as you get in there. There's strife and contention in there and all that. Who wants to live like that? I did not want to live like that. I just didn't know that you could actually get right with God, to really get right with God, know Him personally, and have the power to change. And when I found that out, man, I had to check it out. Praise God. Praise God, man. I'm just thinking about it. I'm getting a smile on my face. I'm just thinking about how happy I am. It don't make any difference what I have to go through. What's the difference? You know, when it's over with, I'm going to be with Him. And that there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying. None of your loved ones are going to be hurting. It's going to be an unbelievable life. And that's for eternity. And we can't even understand that. I mean, you can't even digest eternity. But that's for us. Let's just jump down to, Philippians, the second chapter, verse 1. It's right below that. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. There we go. We're going back to that unity again. We have to have that. We've lost that. And we're working on getting it back. This all got built like that. Everything you see here got built with that unity and that love. Somewhere along the line, we lost some of that. But we're getting it back. Amen. And it feels good. That work party felt good. I came by here. I couldn't be down here all day, but I had some other things I had to do. And it was just good to be down there. And food was great. Fellowship was great. Just to see the smile on everybody's face. We used to do that every weekend. And like I say, when we were building, have to work most of the time. And that's how you get to know each other. That's how you get that closeness and forgiveness. You have that love and mercy for each other. It was a beautiful time. I don't think we realized how beautiful it was at the time. There's a lot happened in the world since then. A lot of things. COVID didn't help anything with separations. That opened the door for a lot of things to happen. But God's people are overcomers, right? Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but on every man also of the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. For being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All the things that they did to Jesus, he never opened his mouth. He let them have their way. And then he forgave them at the last minute. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, he looks on the inside and looks on the eternal side of it. People do not realize how real God is, and that every word we speak, every thought we have, every action we take, we have to give an account for. If you don't do it in this life, you're going to do it in the next one. And Jesus knew they didn't know what was, they did not realize how bad they were going to wind up here. That was a sad deal, but that was for our example. We're supposed to be like Him, we're supposed to be forgiving. We're supposed to be humble, and we're supposed to give everybody the benefit of doubt and show them that love and kindness. Amen. Let's go to the last scripture here, Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Remember that. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But brethren, you're not of the darkness, end of the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We know that this word of God is true. We need to be ready. Stay ready. We are of the light. We're not in darkness. Verse 7, for they that sleep in the night, they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet of salvation, for a helmet, the help of salvation. You know, hope in the natural is like, boy, I hope this happens, or if that lines up, this is going to happen, or whatever. But in God, it's not like that. Our hope is we know it's going to happen, we just don't know when it's going to happen. Amen? And we don't have to hope like that. It says, you know, put your faith and hope and trust in God and all that. But our hope, we know it's going to happen. Everything that's in this Bible is going to happen. And we know it. That's what these trials are for. Not only to perfect us, to humble us, but it builds faith. It makes you strong. And pretty soon there's nothing that can happen to you in this life that'll shake you. You can have all kinds of stuff. And we don't know what that's going to be. We don't even know what we're looking at 5 minutes from now. We don't know what we're going to have to go through. But I know we're going to have to go through something, because when I was praying about this message, that's all I could think about. We got to get ready. We got to be strong. And I have to remind everybody to put your spiritual ears on. Listen to this and start thinking about it. And wherever you got to shore up in your life, make it stronger, do it. Verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or whether we should sleep, we live together with him. That's what I mean. Don't guess at your salvation. If you die in your sleep tonight and you're right with God, you're going to be with him for eternity. Verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as we also do ye. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish them and admonish you. You know, that admonishing, all it is gently warning or correcting somebody that's going down a path that might get them in a bind. If you rebel against that, you don't tell me what to do, or you're stiff-necked about it, when somebody's trying to help you, they're not trying to be mean to you, they're trying to help you. What does that say about you? You got to look in the mirror on that one. Verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. That means everybody you come in contact, not just people in the church. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast which is good, abstain from the appearance of evil. Don't do anything that would bring reproach on God or embarrass him. Period. Just don't say nothing, don't do nothing. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our promises. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. God will finish the job. He brought us this far, he can get us all the way home. Amen. Verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren and the whole body of Jesus Christ here in the Apostolic Assembly. I charge you before the Lord that the epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's it as far as scriptures go. If you have anything on your mind tonight that you want to get right with God, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, this altar's open. Just anything that you want or need from God, it's right here for you. I know God cares enough about each and every one of us that he died for us and died the worst death that anybody could die to give us the opportunity to make things right with him. So if you have anything on your mind that needs fixed, fix it. If you have to go to a brother or sister, go to them. If you just want to love God and just get closer to him, the altar's open. I love you all. Have a good week. Thank you. Make sure you stick around for some pizza.